I believe the Lord's done some amazing things this morning. I believe any time that we come into His presence, I mean, what is the real presence of the Lord? Not something that you've just manufactured, so to speak, or something like that. But I mean, when it's real, something powerful takes place inside us. Importation takes place in our lives that really begins to deliver us and set us free from just a bunch of junk that we got going on in our life. There is a need in me, and I believe in all of us, to be free. To be free. Free from, we know that we've been set free from sin because of the blood of Jesus that was poured out on the mercy seat before God in our behalf. That blood eradicated sin, and that our sins in our past is not an issue with God. He's not going to be holding them things against us. But there are some memories that of things that we have been through, things that we have done. There are some memories of the sin things that we've done in the life. But there's memories of tragedies in our life. There's memories of crisis in our life where we didn't really handle those things just right. Those things can become to pile up to become like a mountain in our life that keep us on one side of that mountain, and we feel like God's on the other side. And I feel with my heart that that's one of the things that God's doing. He's dealing with those mountains right now, and He's beginning to, I should look this scripture up this morning and read it to be more accurate, but what I sense He's doing, He's tearing down those mountain things and lifting up those valleys and making our way much more straight, much more on a plane that we can navigate. The key to that is that we have got to allow Him to remove those things in our life. You and I have a choice, if we desire to, if we want to grab hold of some of those things and not let go of them. And if we do that, God's not going to wrench them out of your hand and take them away. But if you will release that thing, if you will release that depression or oppression, if you release that sickness, or you release those tragedies that you've encumbered in your lifetime, if you'll release those things, God will remove them. Because of His love for us, and His love for us is so great, He does not want you and I to deal with those issues time and time again. He wants us to be free of them. He doesn't want us to wander around in the wilderness like the children of Israel did for 40 years to just take a few days' journey from Egypt to the promised land. And they wandered around and around in the wilderness for 40 years. But I tell you what, God, I plan on living 40 years, but I want it to happen much more sooner than that. I want to be free before then, Dean. I don't want to wait until I leave this physical body to be free. And I believe that we can reach into heaven by faith right now and pull in by faith into this realm all the promises that God made for us. And one of those promises is that we are free. We sing that song quite often here, and it's been such a powerful anointed song here to God to deliver us. And that is that there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And that is absolutely true, but we need to define what chains are to us. And we know that in the natural, a chain is a bunch of little steel links linked together that forms something that you can wrap something up with it and tie it where it can't get away, or you can hook it to something and pull it or whatever. You know, we understand that, but you know what? By the way, what happens in the natural can happen in the spirit. And so there are things in our life that them chains represent. When we sing that song, there are things in our lives that song is representing. you've got to fill in that blank where that chain is. You've got to know what's in your heart. You've got to know what you're dealing with. You've got to know what's hindering you from entering into the river of God, the very presence of God. And whatever that is, you need to lay that before the Lord and let that chain be broken. I like the picture that we put behind the words on that song. We put them on the screen, that picture of a chain being broken. That's a great visual and this is what I like to do. If I'm dealing with something and we begin to sing that song, I begin to envision that chain as that thing that I'm dealing with. And when I begin to sing that song and believing God, believing the word of the Lord, that chain being broken. Amen. There is absolutely nothing that can keep you and I bound. There's absolutely nothing that can keep you and I from enjoying the things of God except us. So it comes down to a choice. I've got a scripture here I want to read you, and I don't know if it's in these notes or Psalms 126, verse 1 through 6. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Before I go any further, let me just reestablish this, encourage you with this. It does not matter what that chain is or what that thing is being holding you captive. Do you know that depression will hold you captive? Did you know that sickness will hold you captive? Did you know that lack in your life will hold you captive? Offense will hold you captive. If you're being held captive, then you're not in position then where you can receive the things of God. Well, the word of the Lord here to us, and I think this is a prophetic word to us today, is that the Lord will turn again the captivity of Zion. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, then we were like them that dream. It's like when you're being held captive, you can't even dream. You're in bondage. You're enslaved. You're in chains of something, and you don't have the liberty to dream. How many of you know that that your success as a believer in Christ Jesus lies upon your ability to have faith in God and to dream? What is it that motivates us? What is it that encourages us? What is it that makes us get up in mornings and push forward? It's because we have a dream. And if you're in captive, if you're being held captive, if you're being pressed down by the enemy, if you're being depressed and you've got offense in your life and you got discouragement and you cannot dream. The Bible says that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can think, ask, or imagine. To think, ask, or imagine is a dreaming. So when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. When He turned their captivity, the way I read this and the way I'm comprehending this morning, when God turned their captivity, they began to dream again. Then look what it says. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Laughter does good like a medicine, James. You see things, comprehend things, understand things differently from a position of joy than you do when you are in depression. When you have the joy of the Lord in your life, when you're rejoicing and when there's the joy of the Lord is your strength, you are on a level that allows you to see things differently, not as the world sees them, but see them as God sees them. And God sees the circumstance. He sees those mountains we talked about a while ago that's been built up and that we've been circling around and around for years. God sees those things as nothing. From God's standpoint, those things are non-issues. In the sense of Jesus already died and conquered those things, so you're not going to be free. And He's enabling us, empowering us to overcome those things so that we can rejoice and so that we have. If you're depressed, you're not telling somebody about how good Jesus is. But when you're filled with joy, you can't keep your mouth shut. Your mouth will be filled with laughter and singing. So, here we go. Here's the question. Am I laughing and am I singing or am I not? That ought to give us some indication if we're living in, walking in the joy of the Lord or if we're allowing depression to keep. I keep using the word depression because the opposite of joy to me is depression. And the church has been depressed. The church as a whole has at times been in a position to where it almost feels like, God, are you ever going to do anything in my behalf? But I feel and I sense in my heart and in me, and I believe in every one of us, that the Lord is refreshing us and encouraging us and filling us with joy because we have a great mandate on our lives and a great mandate on this church to for the great commission to be carried out. And the Great Commission is to go and make disciples, cast out devils, heal the sick. So then was our, after God turned their captivity, I don't know if you guys realize it or not, but last year we were in captivity to something. Last year, the entire year was a dry season for us. I don't just mean in the summer, in the weather last year. By the way, listen, I'll say it again. A lot of times what's going on in the natural is also going on in the spiritual. We had a dry season. It don't make any difference to me whether it was the dry weather was a result of the dry spiritual season or vice versa. It don't matter. Last year was dry, but not this year. Something happened around January the 1st in this church. God began to do something. And here's how I began to notice it. I would be up here worshiping. And one Sunday morning, I'd be worshiping, and it sounded like behind me back here, somebody else started clapping. Next Sunday, somebody else started clapping and singing. There began to be some excitement. There began to be some joy. There seemed to be some changes in us. And it's been building all year to this point. And I'm saying this year's not over. This season of a flow of the river of God is not over. It's just beginning. Let's go, let me turn my Bible on here. Ezekiel chapter 47. This leads up to what I was just saying. How we've come this year. We've been growing and God's not through. We've got more to enjoy, more to receive from the Lord, more to experience from the Lord. It says, then the man took me back to the door of the temple. And I saw water flowing from under the entrance of the temple toward the east. And we saw this when we was in Israel this year. And we saw a replica of Jerusalem. And the temple of Solomon did face the east toward the eastern gate. And the water was flowing from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he led me through the north gate and around to the outer east gate. The water was flowing down the south side of the gate. With a measuring line in his hand, the man went eastward. He measured off a third of a mile and led me through the water. The water came up to my ankles. This is, in Ezekiel, it's what we call to reference to as Ezekiel's River. This is a flow of water that flows out of the temple, that flows. But will you agree with me yet that God has already done everything there is to be done? And God, from God's perspective, it's already a done deal. We, you and I, are by faith walking out what God has already put in motion from before the foundations of this world. And we're going to be walking. This may not have happened physically yet, but it has happened in the spirit, in God's perspective, right? And so if it's happened in God's perspective, we by faith then can extract by faith in what God's already done and bring it into this natural world which we live. All right, so as I was mentioning a while ago, that we've come a long ways this year, but we've not gone and exhausted all that God's got for us, nor will we ever. With a measuring line in his hand, the man went eastward. He measured off a third of a mile and led me through the water. The water came up to my ankles. This is where I see us right now. Christian Family Fellowship, we've been enjoying the presence of the Lord. We've been enjoying the river of God. There's a flow coming out of the temple of God, out of the heavens of God, out of the throne of grace, and we're just getting up to our ankles. We're just getting in. We're just getting to a point to where God's fixing to release some extremely awesome and powerful things in our life. I believe that out of this flow river of God, there will be miracles and signs and wonders. There will be healings. There will be. I'm looking for what God said He would do to really happen in our life. Can you agree with that? Amen. Amen. We've sown seed. We've ministered. We've been encouraging. We've been helpful to no telling how many people over the several 20-something years we've been a church now. But there's about to be a harvest come. This is what I believe. I believe we have entered into the next great move of God. You know, we look back to the charismatic move. We look back to the healing movement. And we look back to the Zuzu Street. We look back to all those different things. And we call them great moves of God. I think we've entered into another great move of God now called the harvest. And you know, the Bible's very clear. Only Father God knows when He's going to release Jesus to come back to earth, and we'll all be caught with Him in the air and forever be with Him. That day is coming. But what if this great harvest that we're entering into is ushering in the very presence of God, the very coming return of the Lord Jesus? It could be. I'm not saying that it is, because no man knows. These guys that tell you Jesus is going to come back on such and such day are goofy. They don't know. Jesus said even He don't know. Just the Father. But this could be the great move of God of harvest that's going to bring in every believer. This is when I think Jesus is going to come back. You know what I think? When every person that is going to give their heart to God gives their heart to Him, and there's no one left that will, then He'll come back. Because it's His will that not anyone perish. The Bible says that He's long-suffering, or He's patient. It talks about Him being extremely patient. He'll give everybody on the planet Earth an opportunity to accept Christ Jesus. And when that's done and no one is left, He's got no reason not to come. My opinion. I didn't read that in John chapter 2, verse whatever. I just believe that. Okay, where was I? To the ankles. Then he measured off another third of a mile and led me through the water. The water came up to my knees. He measured off another third of a mile and led me through the water, and that water came up to my waist. Then he measured another third of a mile. But the water had risen so much that it became a river, which I couldn't cross. The river was too deep to cross except by swimming. So what I see in that, there is a period, there is a growing, a maturing, a learning. It's like the Lord is teaching us how to navigate in the Spirit. God's teaching us how to flow in the Spirit as we step in with ankle deep, and then knee deep, and then waist deep, and then start in at ankle deep. We did this with our grandkids. We put them in shallow end first. And as they got more confident, they'd be out to their knees. More confident, they'd be out to their waist. My point with this is that when you get into the river of God, the ankle deep water, so to speak, you're learning, you're experiencing, you're seeing light that you had never seen before. You're seeing truth you never seen before. You're enjoying the presence of the Lord like you'd never experienced before. And then you grow into the next level, and you grow into the next level, and to the point you're ready to swim in the depths of the river of God. I mean, why wouldn't that be that way? Everything else in the kingdom's that way. Everything else starts like a seed that sprouts and grows a plant and then produces a harvest, a fruit to be harvested, rather. You see? So if that's the principle of the kingdom of God, why should this be? So we've been growing throughout this year in the realm of the Spirit, in moving of the Spirit of God. And not only are we learning to flow in the Spirit of the Lord like that, but we're also keeping grounded by the Word of God. Let me give you an example. Every river in the world has a bank that controls the flow of the river, except in flood stage, right? And then there are higher levels of ground that still yet controls that. This is my example. Y'all have heard this, but there's that flow of the river of God, the Spirit of God moving in our lives, but the Word serves as a boundary or a bank that keeps the flow in order. So throughout this year, we've had, I believe, a good balance of that. And we're experiencing more and more of the moving of the Spirit. You know what? When God puts something on our heart to go pray for this one because they got a need, that's the Spirit of God guiding and leading. Amen? When you respond to an altar call or an invitation to come forward for whatever reason, when you respond, you're by faith stepping out into that river. Let me go ahead and just read on a little bit. Then he asked, I'm in the same chapter of Ezekiel. Then he asked me, Son of man, do you see this? Then the man led me back. He said, do you see this? He just showed him the river and said, do you see it? One of the reasons I think that we have not experienced this, we've seen it a little bit here, seen it a little bit there, and we thought, yeah, God will move over there at that church. You can move down there at that church or at Toronto or Lakeland, Florida Pensacola, Florida, but he won't do it in Antlers. But I tell you what, my eyes, I believe by the Spirit of the Lord being open, and I can see it happening right here. I don't care if it ever happens on that level or not. I care about happening in our lives. I care about life being deposited in us. If it does that, that's okay. But we're here today listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we're receiving life that flows from the heaven's throne. Amen? Then the man led me back along the bank of the river. And as I went back, I saw many trees on both sides of the river. To me, the many trees on both sides of the river represents people. People standing at the edge of the riverbank ready to step in. Then the man said to me, this water flows through the land to the east, down the Jordan Valley, and into the Dead Sea. Oh, this is going to be... When this literally happens on earth, this river is going to flow out of the temple of God, flow right down the Kidron Valley, right on over to the Dead Sea, and these fresh waters are going to push out those salt waters. And then life's going to come back to the Dead Sea. It's going to be filled with fish. And I know this hadn't happened yet because this year we were in the Dead Sea, floating in it, and it's still full salt. There's no life. So in the natural, that has not happened yet. But again, God has already established this, already spoken this. It is real from heaven's standpoint, and you and I, by faith, can begin to draw on that flow on that river of God, and we can have the life deposited in us right now today that's going to happen literally one day when the water flows into the Dead Sea. When the water flows into the Dead Sea, it will replace the salt water there with fresh water. Wherever the river flows, there will be many fish. Listen to this. Wherever the river flows, there will be many fish and animals. The river will make the water in the Dead Sea fresh. Wherever the river flows, it will bring life. Do you see that? Wherever this river that flows out of the temple of God flows, it will bring life. If you've got, we mentioned this morning, if you've got a thing in your life that was tragic, that has been keeping you, holding you back, that has been a hindrance to you, when the river of God begins to flow in your life, it will bring life. It will bring health. It will bring joy. It will bring peace. It will bring the promises of God. We're talking about this thing in reading this as a literal physical thing that will happen. And there will be a flow that flows out of the temple that does all this. But I want to tell you something, guys. In this day, that we're by faith believing God for release of the river of God in our lives, flows out of the house. The King James calls it the house, or the God's Word translation used the word temple. When I began reading this to you a while ago. And as I read it in the King James horn, this is what came into my heart. You remember the prophetic word that's spoken over Christian Family Fellowship a couple of years ago, that God had chosen to place His name on this place, and how this place would go the fire of God. Well, I just want to believe this, and I believe with all my heart, that the place where God chooses to put His name, out of that place, in the realm of the Spirit, in our lives today, will flow a river that will, wherever it flows, will bring life. So I'm declaring today in Jesus' name that from this point on, our bellies will be filled with living water, and it will flow out of us. The building's not the church. We are the church. And out of us will flow rivers of living water. And wherever it flows out of us, it brings life. The river will make the water in the Dead Sea fresh. Wherever it flows, it will bring life. But the river of life, the river that flows from the house of God, will reach to the most deadest part in someone's life and deposit life in it. Not just to make them happy and feel good for a day or two, but I mean the deep corners of their heart, the deep compartments in their heart that they kept hidden from God, that river of life will flow in that deep spot and give it life and bring about. Jesus died on that cross, and He said in John 10:10, I died so that you might live and live abundantly. As many kinds of fish, people will be standing on the shore of the sea with their fishing nets spread out. As many kinds of fish will be there as there are in the Mediterranean Sea. There will be an abundance of fish in the Dead Sea. You know what's interesting about the Dead Sea? It's not very big. In comparison to other seas, it's not very big. But yet this sea is going to have as many fish in it as are in the entire Mediterranean Sea. That shows you of the ability that God has to multiply and fulfill and bless and honor His promise. Okay, there's something else I wanted to tell you here. Verse 11, but the water in the swamps and marshes won't become fresh. It will remain salty. I read that this morning and I thought, oh my goodness. Right here in the middle of church, river of heaven is flowing from the house of God. Listen here, verse 12. All kinds of fruit trees will grow on both sides of the river. Their leaves won't wither, and they won't fail to produce fruit. Each month they will produce fresh fruit because this water flows from the holy place. Yes, this is a story of what's going on in the natural, but we want to relate to us in the Spirit. When the river of God is flowing in us and giving life to us, you're going to be fruitful. You'll not fail. Just as it said concerning trees that each month that have fresh fruit, each time you have opportunity, you will have fresh life, fresh anointing, fresh word from heaven that will impart into someone's life. You're not going to dry up. This is fresh water. This is fresh life. You're always going to have something that is powerful in you, something that is alive in you. You got to say something. You got to speak life. This is what's important, that when we speak life and not death. Encouragement, not discouragement. Strength and not weakness. Because literally the words you have in your heart to say can literally cause someone to come out of that pit into high ground or safe ground or where it's alive, or you can leave them there. There is life in you. Amen? Why don't you stand up with me this morning? I want to give you a chance this morning to respond to the word of the Lord today. If you want to be that one that's going to come into the presence of God and begin to flow with the Spirit of the Lord and let the rivers of living water begin to flow out of you and touch people's lives, I want you to come up here and let's pray for you right quick. We won't take long, but if that's you, if you're ready for the life, the Spirit of the Lord to flow out of you today, come on. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a chance to respond, but to what you just did is you responded by faith to the word of God that was spoken this morning. And that does something in you. When you respond to it, that allows God to go deeper in this thing for you than you dreamed possible. Amen? Father God, I thank you for everyone here today that came forward. Father God, they've responded to you today, God. They did not respond to me, Lord. They responded to you. They responded to the call that's touching their hearts right now by the Holy Spirit, Lord. And I pray, Father God, you would touch them in a way, Father God, that sets them free. Whatever mountain, God, that has been still yet a hindrance to them coming into the very throne of grace, God, move it out of the way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, just fix that thing, God. Bring healing. Bring financial blessing. Bring peace in their homes, their families, God. Whatever is required, God, for them to fulfill what you set before them, God, let it be done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Father God, I thank you that out of them will flow rivers of living water. And that river of life, Father God, on whomever it touches, Father God, their lives will become changed, become different, Father God. And Lord, I pray not only that it change them in the present circumstances, Father God, but it will change them forever. And they will desire, Father God, then, to be filled with living water, that they can go forth out, Father God, and touch others in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the anointing right now that rests upon every man and every woman in this place, God. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do you receive that today?